Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Cembra Money Bank Half Year Results 2016 conference call and live webcast. I'm Selena, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Robert Oudmayer, CEO, Mr. Volker Gloe, CFO, and Mr. Haldun Kuru, Head Controllership of Cembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you, Selena. Good morning, everyone. Here's Robert Oudmayer speaking. Welcome to the half-year results of Cembra Money Bank. I am in the room with our new CFO, Remy Schimmel, who will be on the listen-only mode because he just started 2 weeks ago. Then Volker Gloe, our Chief Risk Officer, is here, and Haldun Kuru, our controller. Haldun will run us through the P&L today and the balance sheet. Volker will talk about the risk numbers, and I will do, the as usual, the general piece. If you go to page 3, we are quite happy to announce really solid results after the first half year in a, I would say, challenging environment. Swiss economy had, again, very modest growth with interest rates at a very low level. You know that low interest rates in consumer finance is normally not a very good marriage because consumer confidence is still quite low. Customers remain very cautious and although we haven't seen all these final numbers there, our estimate is that the consumer loan market has not been growing in the first half of 2016. You all know that, you know, the interest rate cap, valid as the 1st of July, was one of the big topics. We will touch a bit upon it in a later stage in the presentation. But it all, you know, overall, it was a very challenging environment for us. Well, I think we managed the business quite well. We have the financing receivables increased by 1%. Very strong cards performance, offsetting a bit of a decline in personal loans, as expected probably by most of you. Price was strong. We have been defending price in the first 6 months, especially on the personal loans. We had a very strong first 4 months on pricing, and then you see that now the lower interest rates start to kick in a little bit later in the first half. We talk about funding later, but now we repaid the GE term loan completely, so we are 100% self-funded today, and GE is completely out, which was probably also one of the major achievements of the first half year. Very stable loss performances. Volker will talk about it later, but you know, we have seen very stable 30-plus delinquencies, non-performing loans very stable, and also the loss rate of 105 has been very, very stable. And we could maintain a very strong and competitive cost-income ratio of 42.9% in the first half, resulting in a very strong net income of 71.8 million or 255 Swiss francs per share, EPS up 8% and the best results, the first half results since the IPO of Cembra Money Bank. ROE was 18.2%, also well above our target of 15%, and basically we've been meeting all our midterm targets in the first half year. Capital, we talk a bit later about, you know, what we do with the excess capital, but 20.1% excess capital, 78%, so very strongly capitalized, and we talk a bit later in the presentation how we think about capital and how we can try to support the growth. If you move to the next page, a bit more on the consumer finance market. The personal loan market continued to decrease slightly in the first half. We haven't seen the final numbers, but you know, our feeling is that the market has not been growing in the first half. We have seen very aggressive competition. I think most of our competitors started much earlier with the lower rates and started to also advertise with low rates earlier than the 1st of July. We have been holding market share and pricing quite strongly. You see the landscape is changing a little since May. I mean, you also with the cool-off period, you cannot wait till the 1st of July with the new prices. So we haven't been affected a lot, but the new pricing is coming into place basically since June in our books. As we have to do more and more direct business, we have been increasing our advertising budgets in the first second quarter. We have been on TV for the first time since a long time. We had very strong campaigns with our brand ambassador Christian Ricozzi because direct business is becoming more and more important to us. We also took the first cost measure, so we closed 4 satellites in April this year. That's basically on the network it. We are not anticipating to close more branches or satellites, but I think this was a thoughtful cost exercise to do in a challenging environment. And we also see, and that's not new for most of you as well, that customers are requesting more flexibility. So you will see probably in the coming years more and more a mix of personal loans and credit cards. Credit cards, where people take a loan on a credit card, there's more flexibility to repay. The amounts are a bit lower. So you probably see more and more a shift and a mix between personal loans and credit cards. If we look at the new cars sales market, the market has been normalizing. You know that last year was a very strong market. Year to date, we are minus 2%. We expect that the total year will probably be minus 6 or minus 7, which is a normal year. Because last year, after the removal of the pack, a lot of people bought new cars in March, April. Those cars have been delivered not only in Q2 last year, but also in Q3 and Q4. Those cars have not been sold this year in Q2, so you will probably see lower deliveries in the second half of the year. But overall, we expect a minus 6, minus 7% on the new car markets, which represents about 300,000 to 310,000 new cars, which is a normal year for Switzerland. So last year was basically not a normal year. What you also see is the used car market has been growing. You've seen a lot of trade-ins in the second half of last year of the new cars that have been delivered. So the used car market is growing because those cars have to be sold. If you look at Cembra, very stable market share in the auto business, also very stable pricing. We're not really competing with captives with the very low prices. We have not done a lot of price campaigns in this year. And we have been very, very stable and performing as expected. We're still trying to have a very strong personal service, but also at the same time we introduced a new system, so a better technology. But I think our value proposition of very personal service with a strong system is probably one of the strong things that we have in Cembra. So auto business basically performing as expected. If we look at the credit card market, it was up 1%, and the volumes were up 7%. We grew 6%, so we again outperformed the market. We are now almost at 700,000 credit cards, and we're still gaining market share. Of course, Migro was performing very well. We had a strong growth. Also, our Cumulus MasterCard was rated again and again, especially in class. We had a couple of researches where we were ranked number one. Moneyland, but there were some others as well. So it is a best-in-class credit card. We're very happy also to announce that we renewed the contract with Conforama for 3 years, and also we signed on a new customer, Fnac. We expect to be live with Fnac end of the year, and the size of Fnac, you probably should see it over time a little bit as Conforama. Maybe a little bit smaller, maybe a little bit more, we don't really know, but this is a 10 to 30,000 credit card customer as we expect over time. A few words on technology. As you know, we are smart followers. We don't try to be leaders. We don't make a huge investment up front on technology. You see interesting movements in the market. Twint and Payments has now been joining forces. So Twint is really trying to position itself as the Swiss alternative against Apple Pay. Apple Pay is coming into Switzerland. The first bank already introduced Apple Pay. We will be smart followers, so we work closely together with Migro, and we will also be somewhere on Apple Pay. I don't know exactly what date it will be. We are leading on NFC, and I think that's what you also see. You know, NFC transactions keep on growing. We have 20% of the NFC transactions in the first half was done by Cembra. So that's where we are leading on the mobile technology, payment technology, even more followers. Having said that, I want to move to Haldun, who is going to talk about the balance sheet.
Good morning, everyone. I'll start with the balance sheet as of June compared to the prior year end. Our cash balance has reduced to 441 million Swiss francs from December 2015, as we took advantage of our strong liquidity position to prepay 150 million of our GE term loan in January. In July, we repaid the remaining 100 million of GE funding and are now fully funded on a standalone basis. Net financing receivables grew slightly in the first half by 1%. We've seen continued growth in credit cards up 9%. Personal loans are down 2% as the environment remains challenging, while auto assets have remained stable in a normalizing market. On the liability side, we have reached a new milestone, with deposits now making up over 60% of our funding, driven by 8% growth in retail deposits. Institutional deposits are also up by 1%. Short and long-term debt is down 151 million, driven by the 150 million repayment to GE in January. As mentioned earlier, in July, we have since fully repaid the GE term loan. Moreover, we have rolled an ABS, which matured in June, with a new ABS at very favorable conditions. Equity was 779 million in June, down 20 million from December, driven by the dividend of 94.5 million that was paid out in May, which is partially offset by the 71.8 million of net income generated in the first half of 2016.
Move to the next page. We talk a bit about funding more in detail. I mean, Hadley mentioned already a couple of the highlights. I think for us, the major highlight was the repayment of the GE facility in July. So we did a payment already, 150 million earlier in the year, and in July, the last piece. So we are fully standalone funded for the first time. If you look at the mix, what we have, we probably get to almost the stable funding that we like to be. I think you won't see a lot of changes anymore, and I think we're getting to the profile that we want to be and the diversification where we want to be. So retail term deposits are nicely up to 875 million. It's replacing a part of the GE facility. We want to grow a little bit more, but we're getting to a point probably that we are where we are on the retail term deposits. If you look at the institutional deposits, who are very favorable for us in pricing, we are very stable, so around 1.4 billion. I think that's where we want to keep it. We managed to reprice a piece of that portfolio, but I think the level, the 1.4, is probably where we want to keep it. On the bank loans, we have renewed and closed some new facilities there. The 300 million is also a level where we want to stay. I think we also have been able to make it a bit more favorable with the renewals, but this is also more backup loans and revolving facilities that we want to keep like it is. The ABS is also at a level where you can remain it stable there. We replaced in June 16 a 200 million ABS at 3.75 years at 22 basis points, so very, very attractive rates. And then last but not least, the senior unsecured. Total rate is 91 basis points and also very stable at 625 million. You see that the average term is increasing step by step to 2.5 years. And also you see a nice increase or improvement on the funding cost at 74 basis points now at half of the year. So basically, I think on the funding side, we are where we are. I don't expect a lot of changes. We also don't expect a lot of improvement anymore on the cost. We come to a point that we basically almost are optimally funded. With that, I move back to Halden on the P&L.
So moving on to the P&L, our net interest income is up 3 million versus the first half of 2015, driven by a significant improvement in interest expense as we continue to evolve our funding mix and take advantage of the low funding rate environment. Interest income, which includes a 1 million SMB charge on cash held at the central bank, down 2.6 million year on year as continued pressure in the personal loan and auto market is partially offset by credit cards growth. As of 1st of July 2016, the consumer interest rate cap came into effect, limiting APR on new personal loans to 10% and new credit card volumes to 12%. We successfully phased in our new product pricing in the first half of 2016 to meet this requirement. Commission and fee income was up 10%, driven by credit card fees, which were up 10%, mainly due to the growth of the portfolio and strong international spend, despite a regulatory reduction in domestic interchange rates. Higher profit share is driving a 1.2 million increase in insurance income. Overall, revenues for the first half of 2016 are up 3% year on year. Our provision for losses increased by 0.9 million to 21.7 million, which corresponds to a 1.05% loss rate, slightly above our guidance of 1%, but in line with the previous year and year-end ratio. OpEx increased by 3.4 million, driven by the amortization of investments in the business separation, higher information technology costs, and a higher pension charge. However, costs remain well controlled, resulting in a stable cost-income ratio of 42.9%. Overall, net income was 71.8 million for the first half, which is up 3% compared to the same period last year. Taking into consideration the impact on the weighted average shares count after the May 2015 share buyback, EPS is up 8% at 255 francs per share. And ROE reached 18.2, well above our medium target of 15%. On the next page, I'll comment on the interest income by product. On the top right-hand side, you can see the split. Personal loans were down 5%, mainly driven by 4% lower average financing receivables, and yield was down 10 bps, mainly driven by volumes. Auto was down 3% at 41.8 million, with a yield of 5% versus 5.1% in 2015, driven by the low rate environment and aggressive rates from captives. On credit cards, we were up 14% at 25 million, driven by the portfolio growth, with average assets up 12% year-on-year. Yield has increased 20 bps to 7.7, driven by a higher revolve rate. And with that, I hand over.
Yeah, we go to the losses. Just a quick view on the losses. We are reporting 21.7 million of losses for the first 6 months in 2016. If we translate that into a loss rate, we are on 1.05%, which we, as you can see here, rounded to 1.1%. So the loss performance, the loss ratio, is in line with what we saw in similar periods, 6 months periods last year. Also, the underlying asset quality is very stable. Our key performance indicators, 30-plus delinquency, show here 2% at the end of first half 2016, which is also comparable to previous periods. And the NPL ratio is at 0.4%. Obviously, these key performance indicators are compounded metrics because there are underlying portfolios, but also when we split it onto the underlying portfolios, P-loans, auto, and cards, we can see that there was hardly any movement. There was some kind of seasonal up and down, but in total, it's a very consistent, very stable asset quality that we are seeing. And this also gives us the confidence to reaffirm the loss guidance that we gave for 2016. And with that, we go back to Haldun and the OPEX slide.
Moving on to the operating expenses, we had an overall increase in costs of 3.4 million year-on-year. However, due to our revenue growth, our cost-income ratio of 42.9% remained stable versus the same period in 2015. With that, let me provide you with some comments on our respective line items. On compensation and benefits, we were up versus last year, driven by a 1.5 million higher pension cost, while our headcount has remained stable. Regarding the TSA, after the successful transition of our IT infrastructure in Q4 last year, we no longer incur TSA costs. Some of those costs are now disclosed under information technology. Professional services were down 1.4 million, driven by higher consulting fees in 2015 during the business transition. We spent slightly more on marketing in the first half of 2016 as we promoted our new personal loan rates. Rental expenses increased as we incurred the one-off costs relating to the closure of our four small satellites. On IT costs, we see an increase of 4.8 million versus prior year as we completed the first half year on our own IT infrastructure. This is partially offset by the 1.2 million of TSA costs, which are no longer incurred, and lower consulting costs within professional services. Depreciation is up 2.2 million year on year as the final investments in the business transition went live in Q4 2015. Overall, we continue to maintain solid management of our cost base.
Thank you, Haldun. Peyton, on the capital, you realize you have a very strong capital position at Tier 1 capital ratio of 20.1% and an excess capital of 78 million. We prefer to use this excess capital to invest in M&A opportunities in the Swiss market. You appreciate that I can't talk too much about this one, but you know, I think we've coming now out of the whole transformation from GE to Cembra. So we're really now trying to find some other acquisitions or portfolios to support the growth. And again, if we cannot do that for any reason, which might be possible because you all know that the Swiss market is not a very very active market on deals. You don't see a lot of deals. Then I think on at year end we should give an update where we are on excess capital, what we're going to do with it. But we're still trying to contemplate, you know, acquisitions and M&A opportunities because growth will be the preference for us to use that as well. So with this, I think we should move to the last page, which is the outlook for 2016. If you look at medium-term targets, asset growth, now moderate in line with Swiss GDP, we did that, about 0.9%. I think the ROE target of 15% was also more than the level was 18.2. The minimum target Tier 1 capital ratio of 18 ended up with 20.1, and we still foresee a dividend payment between 60 and 70% of the net income. If you look at full year 2016, I think reality on the lower interest income is going to be in place as the 1st July. So there's not much we can do. The rate cap is there, so we're going to have an impact on the revenue line for personal loans as of the 1st of July. Funding is a very good story. We keep on modifying and adapting our funding. We're coming to almost a place where we're going to stay and be. You will see a little bit more improvement probably in 2016 on the funding, but the big swings are gone there as well. The cost base, I think Halden explained it quite well. We have higher IT run rate, we have some pension headwind, but we still think we can have a very competitive cost-income ratio. So overall, we confirm our guidance for the full year 2016. I think the change from previous presentations is that we are guiding at the higher end of the guided range of 480 to 510, and losses will be in line with prior year's performance. With that, I would like to open it up for any questions you might have.
The first question comes from Martin Amis from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you very much for the presentation. I have three brief questions, if I may. Firstly, on costs, and more specifically on IT costs. You commented that part of the increase in IT expenses is related to one-off items. If you could perhaps quantify these items. Secondly, on risk costs, The risk cost was 105 basis points for the first half, and you reiterated the guidance of 1% for 2016. If you could perhaps comment on your expectations with regards to 2017, and also how the new rate cap and potentially changing dynamics in the market impact your expectations on risk costs. And thirdly, a more general question on competition in the market in personal loans. Your yield in the personal loan book held up very well at 10.9%. If you could comment on how do you see the competition panning out in this space after the rate cap was introduced, and how your strategy is different from your competitors. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Matt. Three questions in one, but we'll try to deal with it. The IT cost question we're going to give to Halden. The risk question is going to be for Volker, and I'll talk about competition on personal loans. So you want to start, Halden, on the cost one?
Yes. So thank you for the question. Look, it's difficult to compare IT costs on a like-for-like basis since Cembra is now running on its own IT platform since October 2015. In essence, and under GE ownership, some of the costs and activities were absorbed centrally by GE, whereas others were allocated to Cembra on separate line items. So as I've mentioned before, TSA costs, they don't occur anymore. Last year, we had also more professional services costs. Due to the transition, they were slightly higher. So you know, coming to your question around the one-off costs, that's definitely in that area. So, you know, at the end, We have been, the new platform which we have now will enable us to benefit, especially in terms of digitization, automation in the future. And in terms of the full year, I guess you can assume that the half year figures that we have, that's a good indicator for the remainder of the year. I hope that it gives you a bit of background.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, on the question around credit risk and losses, yes, we are reporting a loss rate of 1.05%, which is in line with prior years, and that's also the guidance that we gave for 2016, that we expect a loss rate that is in line with prior years' performance. We are currently not guiding for 2017, but we only reaffirm the guidance for 2016. And yes, kind of your question about the impact of the rate cap on especially personal loans. I mean, we obviously, as we have also communicated that before, it might change kind of our underwriting appetite because we communicated it as one of our potential countermeasures that we would take in case the rate cap comes into place. So what we've done is that we have validated several customer segments. And we have also identified a few customer segments where we deem the kind of potential margin that we can generate on these segments as insufficient to carry the related costs and the expenses on these segments. So, yes, we have done some underwriting changes, but I also want to be very clear that the underwriting changes is not something that you do once in a time. It's kind of a continuous activity to optimize the underwriting appetite all the time, to ensure that you always stay kind of profitable on the assets that you take on the book. It's regularly monitored, regularly assessed, and always adjusted when necessary. And since we identified some segments and restricted some segments, obviously these are the segments with a higher risk. So consequently, we should expect that over time we see kind of a lower risk through the personal loan book creeping in. But this is not a movement that happens from one moment into another. This is really a kind of a development that creeps in over time because it only affects the new volume that we generate.
Thank you, Volker. Mate, on your question on competition, I think first question that I would basically touch base shortly on is the market. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how the market is going to develop in the second half. We don't know, basically. Are we going to have the same volume of loans as normal with a lower interest rate cap or not? I think what you've seen on competition, we've seen quite aggressive behavior. People are, as we basically expected, paying high commissions on agent volume at lower rates, what we normally don't do. So you will see a bit of a shift from direct volume to us because we got more competitive with our rates on the direct side. And also, as expected, competition hasn't really decreased the prices drastically on the direct side. So we had some of our competitors who were really below 10%. We're coming closer to those competitors. So I think we probably can improve a little bit there, our volumes. At the other hand, we probably lose some of the agent volume because we're not as aggressive on agent volume as some of our competitors are with the commission. So it's difficult to say. Normally, I could give you a very good idea where we are. Let's see how the market is going to develop in a really changing environment. Overall, so far, our assumption is that it's going to be quite stable the second half.
Great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Ian Schutz from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Many thanks for the presentation and taking my question. I have four of them, to be exact.
Four?
So, first of all, on external growth, could you comment again on the targets, the markets, and whether you could assess maybe going abroad from Switzerland? In the past you said no, but I wanted to check whether it's still valid and the size of what you're looking for. The second question is on the new partner, FNAC. As far as I understand, this is a large French retailer, so and with about like 2 million or so loyalty cards. You now guided to about 10 to 30,000 cards. So how can we understand this? Like, is it only Switzerland only? And then again, also, over what time will you have these 10 to 30,000 cards? And then third question would be the yield of credit cards with which has edged up to 7.7%. Now that you say that there is a shift from personal loans more into credit cards, do you see that this yield of 7.7 will change material, maybe on the upside? And last question, please, the measures against or following this rate cap. You have already closed some branches. What other measures could we expect? Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jean-Thomas. All questions for me, so I try to cover them all. First, on the external growth, look, I think it remains unchanged now. I think our preference is to use excess capital to grow further on the Swiss market. We have a very strong expertise and a long-term history on the Swiss market. I think this is where our big strength is. So, as I said before, the only idea when we go abroad is if we can find a real leverage for a Swiss business, you might think of something abroad, but it's not our preference. Our preference is to try to grow into the Swiss market. Again, I know on size it's difficult to say. It's more opportunistic what is available, what we can do, but we want to try to grow into Switzerland. We move to the second question on FNAC. I know it's difficult to say when you have a new customer when you're going to reach what number of accounts and when not. So, you know, how are they going to sell it? How quickly is it going to be? In Conforama, it also took a few years before it really picked up. So I think my best estimate is somewhere between 10 and 30,000 cards. I don't know exactly when we're going to be there. We're starting probably at the end of the year with FNAC. I think FNAC is an interesting one because it's a bit comparable to Conforama. Conforama is very successful in France with loyalty products and have a much smaller base in Switzerland. I think you can compare FNAC more or less with Conforama. It's very difficult to say, but I think it fits well in our strategy to sign on new customers and have a kind of similar product offering as we have in Conforama. FNAC is a very good example there. The yield on credit cards, that's another difficult question to answer. I think what you will see is when you see the asset base growing and growing on credit cards, and where the maximum interest rate on credit cards is 12%, on loans is going to be 10%. My expectation is that you will see some more assets in credit cards because also it's beneficial. So if the yield is going to increase, yes or no, that's difficult to say. The Migros card is still without any annual fee, so the growth on Migros is not going to really support that yield. But, you know, it has been a nice ride for the last couple of years, and it's difficult to say if that's going to continue or not. The last question for you on the rate cap. Look, I mean, I think we are very cost efficient. If you look at the headcount we have, it's very stable. It's even a bit lower than last year, where we still have a nice growth in the number of customers. So we basically serve the same number of more customers with the same headcount. So that is productivity. I think the closure of the four satellites was an anticipation on the rate cap. We're trying to be very cost efficient. We also introduced a new system, for example, for our auto business, which gives more self-service possibilities for the dealers, so we can also reduce their headcount a bit. I think it's a constant try to be very cost efficient, and I think we've proved to be very good in cost efficiency. What I always said is, you know, our cost-to-income ratio is going to be competitive. It's going to be 42, 43, 44, whatever it is. I can't guide you exactly on the cost-to-income ratio. But I think for a bank from our size, it will be a very competitive cost-to-income ratio. So hopefully I've answered most of your questions here, Jean-Thomas.
Many thanks.
The next question comes from Mr. Andreas Frick from Bank am Bellevue. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. Good morning. I have quite a technical question on the loss ratio. Unfortunately, I have to come back to that. Sorry for that. The 1% guidance. I thought the loss ratio had to come down as of 2016. I remember you had a portfolio of loss certificates that you sold in 2013, and that triggered a one-off gain in the first half of 2013, but then had a corresponding negative effect on the recoveries until and including 2015. So I always thought the increase to 1% is driven by this kind of accounting effect, you know, from this recoveries. Now you say that the loss ratio will stay at 1%, which is then quite high in my view, As I thought, the increase is only, driven by these recoveries. Now, in this regard, you also mentioned some underwriting changes. Did not really got the answer on that. Maybe you can follow up again on that. Did I correctly understand you that you would allow to offer rates below 10% to clients that would have had a rate above 10% before the reduction of the rate cap? So these are my mainly two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. I'm going to give the questions to Volker. They're all about losses, so
yes,
he'll be answering your questions.
Okay. Yes, your first question on the loss ratio and our guidance that we are giving. Yes, you're right. The debt sale that we executed in 2013 had a material impact kind of in the consequent years, because when you do a debt sale, and that was kind of a bundle of loss certificates, you accelerate the future recovery flow and get a one-time payment, and obviously it then impacts throughout the coming years the recovery flow. But it's important to highlight that this is not the only dynamics that you have in a credit portfolio. There are more dynamics to that. And we have been kind of guiding in the past to explain a bit the dynamics and explain the effect of the debt sale. And that was also the reason why we gave the guidance for 2016. In the past years, we've always been kind of reporting numbers on the reported loss rate and also an adjusted loss rate, which is solely adjusted or has been adjusted for this big one-off, the big debt sale. We don't do that now. Reason why is that the debt sale was in 2013, so it's kind of already quite a while ago, and it will continue to materially impact the loss rate in the years coming. And at a certain moment in time, we need to say that our estimate about the recovery performance of a portfolio that we no longer have because we sold it becomes inaccurate. And therefore, we kind of removed it now out of the loss rate that we display here on the page. But therefore, we continue to give a guidance that we expect that the loss rate will be in line with prior year's performance.
And sorry to interrupt you. I mean, the 1% is not a high loss rate. If you look at the market, it's...
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
On the second part of your question, when it comes to the underwriting changes, what we've done is really that we went through customer segments that are affected by the rate caps, so mainly on the personal loan portfolio, and we assessed if the margin is sufficient to cover the risk cost and the expenses. And there might be segments where we in the past have charged a higher interest rate than 10%, where we can still now accept the risk, but with a lower interest rate on it. But there are also segments, which was the ones that I was referring to, that we basically cut out now. So because of the risk profile that they have, we are no longer willing to take the risk on our book, i.e. we excluded them from our underwriting and we will not continue to serve these segments.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Andreas Venditti from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Thank you, yes. Most questions have been answered so far, so I have just maybe just two smaller ones. One, again, on expenses. These four small branch closures, I guess that's a very low number of headcounts that has been reduced. That might be the minus six FTEs that we see on the slide, page 10. Maybe can you guide something, any cost impact you expect going forward from this, whether it's significant or not? And then on credit cards, maybe could you update us on the penetration you see of the Cumulus cards in Migros? And any, further potential new partners that you might be talking to in the credit card space? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Andreas. I'm expenses. How do you want to say a few words on the branch close? And I'll take the credit card penetration question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the rent expenses, I mean, as we said, there were small branches. So the main impact from the closure of those branches is mainly the rent. And on the FTE, we will probably see midterm a small impact coming from there as well. But again, it's four small branches, and the impact is limited.
Look, on those branches, what you see normally is those small branches, you always need to have two or three people in the branch to be open. So closing small branches is in a way beneficial because you basically don't need two or three people per branch. So the impact is there. What we did is we reallocated those people, so we haven't taken anybody out. We relocated those people. I think there was a constant optimization in trying to take our headcount stable. If you look at our IPO and where we are now, almost 3 years later, our headcount is completely flat, where we have been growing our customer base with about 10-15% a year. So it's a constant play and a cost efficiency what we do, and you have to do it to keep your cost-income ratio competitive and your headcount flat. So that's what we're trying to do. And this is just a part of the whole measures that we're doing on digitization, on taking some branches out. So it is a bigger play here. On the credit card penetration, I mean, the Migros, we are still somewhere between 20-25%, and it is still nicely growing. So we still see some good growth on Migros, and I think we can continue to grow the Migros portfolio, so we haven't reached any entitlement there. The $1 million question is always, where's the entitlement? But nobody can answer. But so far, and all, we keep on growing the Migros portfolio quite nicely. Fnac is a nice example of what we want to try to do. So we're trying to sign on retailers, and yes, there is a pipeline of retailers, and yes, we're talking to retailers, and no, I can't give you any names there. So, I mean, you know, Switzerland, you know, as we know, it's not a country where things happen very easily and very fast. So we're constantly talking to retailers, and the idea is always to sign on, you know, every other year a retailer, or maybe every year a retailer. And I think we have done this now successfully with Fnac. And yes, we're looking at a pipeline. I mean, hopefully we can sign on somebody else in the next period somewhere.
We have a question from Mr. Tariq El-Mejad from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just one follow-up on costs. So I understand there's some one-offs. I mean, you haven't really detailed the magnitude of these one-offs, but I just want to understand and to double-check that the first half cost of 84 million or so is the run rate now for a semester. Is that right? Thank you.
Okay, Tariq, I give the question to Haldun. So.
Yeah, so I mean the OPEX that you have for the first half is will give you a good indication for what you can expect for the remainder of the year. I mean, I can't give you exact guidance on all the line items, but it's probably a good base for the full year.
But then it's not one-offs, right? Or maybe some one-offs will go, but some other items will go higher later on. Or
we had some one-offs last year.
Look, there are always one-offs. I mean, if you if you look at our P&L and probably every company, there are always one-offs up and down. Mm-hmm. I think we give quite a bit of detail on the cost side. It's impossible to guide completely the cost line for the full year.
Okay, cool. That's clear. Thank you.
Gentlemen, that was the last question.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening in. Hopefully we have been able to answer all your questions and give you a clear view of where we are as a bank. We are, as Cembra, proud of our first half year results, and we try to do everything to deliver also good full year results. So thank you for your attention. I hope to see and speak everybody very soon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in a conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.